Hello, everyone. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. This is certainly a strange and awkward Easter in a strange and awkward way for your pastors to shepherd the flock that is among us. But I'm encouraged that God has given us cameras, God has given us internet connections, God has given us all the things that we need so that we might spur one another on, even though we are not able at this time to be together. Our lives and our plans have been all goofed up during this season. I know my life has been all goofed up, and it's surprising the stuff that I find within myself when I'm removed from my schedule. You and I are both eager to get back to normal and eager to put this thing behind us. But let me encourage you, in the midst of this bitter and awkward providence from the Lord, let me urge you and encourage you to trust the Lord and to see that He has good purposes for us being apart. First, God has reasons that He knows well for us to be humbled through a season like this. It is good for us to see that our lives are a mist that appears for a time and then vanishes. It's good for us to see that the Word of God is the only true and eternal thing that we can rest upon, but truly have joy knowing that Christ is the solid rock on which we can stand. And it's good for us to know that the Lord often puts His children in the fire to refine them and to bring good out of them. So let me encourage you in these truly strange times, do not forget that this grief, whatever kind of grief this trial may be bringing into your life, God is using it to purify us like gold. And as we endure this trial and remember the resurrection of Christ, I want to look with you at John chapter 11. We will look at verses 1 through 44 together, where Jesus reveals Himself at the funeral of Lazarus to be the resurrection and the life. Let's look together at John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, He said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that Lazarus was ill, He stayed 2 days longer in the place where He was. Then after this, He said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to Him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, He said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to Him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought He meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Then when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Before I get into explaining this passage and teaching through it and walking through it together, let's pray and ask the Spirit to guide us. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this opportunity to be able to read and to teach and to speak and admonish your saints. Father, I pray that your beloved saints, your beloved church would be built up and helped today. Father, counsel us and guide us by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In John 11, Jesus is moving closer and closer to Jerusalem, where he would stand trial and lay his life down as a ransom for many. But before he offers himself up as an atoning sacrifice for sin, he needs to reveal more of who he is. Namely, that he is the Lord of life and the Lord who reigns over death. As we walk through this passage, I want to highlight this main idea. Jesus is the Lord of life who reigns over death. Jesus is the Lord of life who reigns over death. Let's begin by looking at the first 16 verses. In verses 1 through 16, we see that there is a threat of death, and this threat of death hangs heavily over this entire passage. It shapes our interpretation of everything that is said and done. There is this heavy cloud of a threatening storm of death threatening, and it shapes everything that goes on within this passage. In verse 3, we see that Lazarus is ill. We can assume that this illness is not a common cold, because this illness demanded a special message to be sent to Jesus. This illness threatened Lazarus's life, and it caused Mary and Martha to send for him to come and to help and to save him. I think it's proper for us to see this illness not as some weak illness, but as one that threatened death. It didn't just snatch Lazarus' life. It first threatened his life and made him feel weak and made him feel powerless against this threat of death. Mary and Martha send for Jesus to come and heal their brother before threat can fulfill its threat. This threat of death hangs over Lazarus' head, but it also hangs over Jesus and his disciples' heads. In verse 8, we read that the disciples respond to Jesus' decision to go to Judea by reminding him, that they just recently escaped the Jewish leader's attempt to kill Jesus by stoning. Thomas, then in verse 16, speaks either words full of faith-filled devotion or words filled with sarcastic despair, and we read there the words of Thomas. He says, "Let us also go, that we may die." Death seems to threaten everybody involved in this passage. And even at the end of verse 16, we learn that threat isn't simply an empty threat, but that Lazarus has died, and his sister's attempt to save him has been foiled. Death has threatened, and death has defeated Lazarus. The next thing I want you to see in these first 16 verses is that this threat of death specifically takes target on those whom Jesus loves. Verse 3 refers to Lazarus as the one whom Jesus loved. Verse 5 tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We might be tempted to chalk up this language of Jesus loving to some reality like John 3:16 that says God loves the whole world. But I think we would be missing John's special emphasis on Jesus' special affection, his special care for Lazarus and his sisters. This threat of death is not falling on some random Joe or Jane Doe. This threat is landing directly on those whom Jesus loves. This passage cannot be understood without sensing the great threat of death that stands ready to pounce on the dear friends who are so deeply special to Jesus. And so I hope at this point you can see these two things working together. There is this heavy threat that is hanging. Death is threatening, and the people that death is threatening are very, very dear to Jesus. If we put these two elements together, the threat of death upon those who are dear to Jesus' heart, we would assume that Jesus would drop everything and sprint to lay his healing hands on Lazarus, or at least tell the messenger that Lazarus' faith has made him well. But what we find is actually the exact opposite. Verse 6 tells us that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, quote, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus didn't jump, Jesus didn't sprint, Jesus stayed. Now, this isn't the way you and I would expect Jesus to respond, because this isn't the way you and I would respond, or this isn't the way we have responded in the past. And we don't even know what we would do if we had the power to heal the sick. It seems like the right thing to do when someone asks for help to get up and go, not to sit and to stay. But Jesus has good reason for his shocking delay in coming to his friend's relief. In verse 4, Jesus reveals that he knows more than everyone else. And namely, he knows God's purpose for the sickness that threatens Lazarus' life. Jesus says, "This illness exists and threatens death for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And in verse 14 and 15, Jesus tells his disciples, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." Jesus is teaching that God's glory and the glory of Jesus, the majestic and primary reason that everything exists, everything in all of creation exists for the primary and majestic reason of God's glory. Jesus is teaching us that this glory often comes through the difficulty of watching Jesus not responding to our requests as we form them. God often chooses to glorify himself through incredibly difficult situations, like the painful threat of death. Yet, and don't miss this, God's highest aim to glorify himself and to bring glory to Jesus is for your sake, Jesus says to the disciples. It's for the disciples' benefit. It's for the benefit of the ones that Jesus loves. God's glory, the display of his supreme value, is of utmost importance. Yet that display, though it calls his beloved through fiery trials, is for his beloved's good. Those two things are perfectly married together. The display of God's glory, the seeing and savoring of God's glory, and the good of his disciples, the good of those whom Jesus loves. Those two reasons, those two purposes stand behind Jesus waiting and not rescuing Lazarus when he was asked. Death threatens those Jesus loves, and Jesus responds to cries for help in a confusing and seemingly uncaring way. Those who were there, Mary and Martha and his disciples, didn't understand why Jesus was doing what he was doing. It hadn't been revealed to them yet. They were completely confused and heartbroken. But in Jesus' confusing response, he is revealing more of God's glory, and specifically more of his own glory, before he lays down his life for his beloved. Turning our attention to verses 17 through 27, we see that these verses show us that Martha believes that Jesus is the promised Messiah and that God will raise Lazarus to life on the last day. She knows that Jesus is Lord over sickness and that if Jesus would have gotten there sooner, Lazarus could have been saved from death. Martha also knows that Jesus has a special connection to God and that he could request that God raise Lazarus from the dead. But what Martha doesn't yet know, what the disciples don't yet know, is that Jesus himself is the source of resurrection power. Jesus is revealing that the last day will be marked by resurrection and eternal life because he is the Lord of life and the one who reigns over death. Jesus doesn't say, I have access to resurrection and life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection and life exist because I, Jesus, the Lord of life, and the one who reigns over death, bring them into existence. Jesus is revealing the glorious gospel of eternal life by grace alone, through faith alone, in himself alone, to the glory of God alone. If Jesus is simply a prophet with healing powers and privileged access to God, his death would not reconcile us. If Jesus was simply a prophet, a man with special privileges from God who could heal people, or with a direct line to God to ask for resurrection, his death would not reconcile us to God. We need a Redeemer who is both truly human and also truly God. And Jesus is that Redeemer. In verses 28 through 37, we see that John the writer further highlights and deepens our understanding of the painful threat of death that has caused a terrible atmosphere of grief and sorrow. As you read and meditate through John 11, up until Jesus calls Lazarus to stand out, you can't help but just feel the atmospheric humidity. You can just feel the weight of the sorrow and the confusion and of the sadness. Weeping and grief fill the painful words of Mary in verse 32. If you had been here, if only you would have gotten here on time, my brother would not have died. Can you feel the pain? Can you feel the sorrow in that statement? We see in verse 33 that all the sadness is not external to Jesus. Jesus doesn't distance himself from this. Jesus doesn't mock or revile people for being so sad. No, Jesus is being affected by the same pain that these people are going through. We read in verse 33 that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. It was painful for Jesus to see his beloved die. His dear, dear, dear friend Lazarus is dead, and it was painful to him. It was painful to see his beloved friends Mary and Martha weep. It was hard for him. It stirred him inwardly. Jesus' love was stirred as our love is stirred. Jesus himself joins in the mournful tears, and those nearby knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus behaved at Lazarus' funeral in such a way that the people who saw him knew that he cared deeply for Lazarus. Verse 37 brings the central issue into focus for us. We read there, some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" And it's clear that people have seen and believe that Jesus had power and authority over many illnesses and handicaps. They had seen him help the blind. They had seen him help the sick. And they wonder, if he loved him so much, why couldn't he have gotten here to save him? But what they didn't understand and what wasn't clear to him, that Jesus wasn't simply Lord over sicknesses and Lord over handicaps. Jesus was revealing that he was the Lord of life and the one who reigns even over death. Jesus was not late in coming to do good for his friends. Jesus was revealing the good news greater than any of them could understand and greater than any of them had dared to ask for. Jesus refused to heal a sick friend. Why? So that he could reveal himself as so much more. In verses 38 through 44, we see Jesus' love for Lazarus and his devotion to glorifying God, move him closer to his dear friend's tomb. I can think of funerals I've been to, and it's one thing to come in the door and to feel the weight of the sadness of grieving someone's passing. It's another thing, and for some of us, it's a huge step to move toward the casket, to move towards the body. And Jesus' love for Lazarus, Jesus' love and devotion to glorifying God caused him to move closer to his friend's tomb. Jesus' love for his God and his love for his friends calls for the removal of the grave cover. Can you imagine the audacity of that? He prays out loud to the Father so that his friends would see that he and the Father are united. Jesus didn't need to pray out loud, but he wanted to see that he and the Father were united. He wanted to reveal his glory, to reveal God's glory through his praying. And in this prayer, Jesus reveals his glory as the Lord of life and the one who reigns over death. How did he reveal it? He revealed it by crying out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And as Lazarus walked out of his tomb, joy and amazement fill that place where the glory of God was revealed and where Jesus revealed his glory as the Lord of life and the one who reigns over death. Can you imagine being one of those people who came to sit with Mary and Martha? One of those people who knew Lazarus well, or maybe knew him because as simply the brother of your friend Martha. What a truly awesome and unforgettable day that must have been. There have been days in which I have experienced life and death. There are days where I have experienced joy and sorrow. But I've never experienced life that completely stole every ounce of death. Nor have I experienced joy that fully and absolutely swallowed up every hint of sorrow. What a truly amazing thing it must have been to be there when Jesus revealed his glory as the Lord of life and the one who reigns over death. That terrible atmosphere of sorrow, that terrible atmosphere of the power of death and its threat was completely washed away as Jesus called Lazarus forth. Jesus could have come when he was asked to come, and he could have laid his hands on Lazarus and healed him from his sickness, but Jesus chose not to. And if Jesus would have done as what was asked of him, this truly awesome and unforgettable experience of Lazarus walking out of the tomb wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have experienced that joy. They wouldn't have seen the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. They wouldn't have learned that Jesus is the Lord of life. As you and I remember and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus this year, and as we remember and celebrate under the discomfort and threat of the coronavirus, I want you to know that God is working in the midst of all of this. He's not working in such a way that he's going to answer our prayers in the shortest time possible, but he's working in such a way to reveal his glory that swallows up sorrow and completely replaces it with joy, that glory that completely destroys death and only leaves life in its wake. Worshiping in our homes is not what we asked for, but you and I can know that God never calls his children to suffer for no reason, and that Jesus is the Lord of life because he is the one who reigns over death. And because he is that Lord, and because he is that one who reigns, he can make a promise. Not a promise only to Mary, not a promise only to Martha or his immediate disciples, but a promise for us. Jesus promises, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus reveals his glory as the Lord of life and the one who reigns over death. And this glory has application to you and me, that we can look at death and we can know that Jesus has promised that though we may die, yet shall we live because we believe in Christ, the Lord of life. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the Lord of life, and he is the one who reigns over death. He showed it at the resurrection of Lazarus, and he showed it at his own resurrection. Though he went to the cross to endure the hell you and I deserve, death could not hold the Lord of life. Listen, isn't this sweet? And though you and I face the threats of death, we can have awesome joy and unmatched hope no matter what we go through. Because if death can't hold our Lord, neither can it snatch us from him. If death cannot hold Jesus, if Jesus commands and death obeys, what can touch us? What can harm us? Jesus truly is the Lord of life and the one who reigns over death. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the great and glorious mystery of Christ, born of a woman, born for us, to bear the weight of our sin, to bear it to the cross so that we might look to you with hope, knowing that our sins have been covered in the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray that this Easter, however it may find my brothers and sisters, Father, I pray that we would be encouraged. And I pray that the Spirit of God would deepen our faith in Jesus, the Lord of life, and the glorious one who reigns over death. Amen.